The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
You picked an awesome Sunday to be in church today. You can have a seat this morning, and I'm going to have our worship team, will y'all all stay on stage for just a moment? I'm going to have Ben and Gabby join me after they get done putting their stuff away. I want to make an announcement, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me over this amazing couple. Come on up here. So how many of you know Ben and Gabby? How many of you think Ben and Gabby are awesome? This is hard, guys. So we made a decision as a church that we're going to be a sending church, that we're not going to hold on to people, that when God calls them, we're going to embrace that call with them and celebrate them. And I'll just be honest with you, this is the kind of Sundays that I don't like being a sending church. Because I want to hold on. When I love people, I want to hold on to them. But Ben and Gabby have accepted an assignment. They are becoming youth pastors at a church on the east side of town. They're going to be missionaries. How many of you know people on the east side need Jesus? Probably worse than the west side, right? West side's the best side. So they're going. We're sending them from the best side to be missionaries on the east side. And I love these guys. They have grown so much. And they're going to leave a gaping hole here at Harvest. But we want to celebrate with them. We really, really do. And so I asked the worship team to stay because we're going to pray over these guys this morning. We're going to send them off and just believe that the Lord will use them in mighty ways to continue to expand his kingdom. So would you join me? Would you just extend your hand towards these guys and worship team, surround them, and let's just pray over them this morning. Lord, thank you for Ben and Gabby. What a gift they've been to our family, Lisa and I and our girls and our church family here. Thank you, Lord, you sent them at the right time. Lord, they came right when we needed them. They stepped in and they've served and they've been a huge part, Lord. And now, God, you have called them. You've got a new assignment on their lives. Lord, we celebrate that today. We acknowledge, Lord, the gifts and the calling that's on their lives. And so, Lord, as their church family, we send them out today in the power of Jesus. We send them out, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would use them in amazing ways, Lord, there at Albuquerque Revival, that you would use them, Lord, in their roles, Lord, as youth leaders and on worship team and wherever you may use them. God, we pray that they would flow in their gifts, that they would be anointed. You would use them in amazing ways, Lord. We're so thankful, God, that you have people like Ben and Gabby in your kingdom, Lord, who will answer your call. So, Lord, as they're called now, Lord, we send them and we ask, Lord, for your power to be upon them in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give these guys a hand? So thankful. Thank you, worship. Did our worship team do awesome today? Man, they do awesome every time, but that was fantastic. Did y'all have a good Valentine's? Did anyone have a good Valentine's? We did a Valentine's night out, and we had like 40-something kids. It was a ton. It felt like 400 that were dropped off here so parents could go out. And we really did have a good time. I just was the pizza guy is all I had to do. But we had a family. They dropped their kids off, and they went, and they came back, and I was at the door, and they came. And I said, y'all have a fun time? And they're like, yeah. I said, what did you do? They said, we went to Chick-fil-A. And then we went home and we took a nap. I'm like, are you kidding me? But any of you parents, you remember those days with the real young kids? It's just like, all I want is some peace and quiet and a nap, right? And then there was a mom. She was so thankful. She said, I'm so glad you're doing this because now I can go home and clean the house. I'm like, oh, do you remember those days, parents? It's like, you can't, they mess it up faster than you can clean it, right? So we had a great time. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for investing in your relationship. It was cool too. The ladies group all got together. They went out for coffee, and I tell you what, I love our church. I really do. Y'all are awesome. You really are. We're in a series right now called Today Matters. And throughout this, on Sundays and then in our life groups, we're talking about 12 daily principles that if we'll put these principles into action, right? Like, I mean, the principle is only as good as the action that you put with it, right? It's not just an idea, but what do you do with it? That if we'll put these into action, they really have the ability to change our lives, to change our future. We keep saying this in the series, but all of us want to succeed in life. The question is, will we do the things that are necessary to ensure our success? And today's topic is no different. And it's a topic I am certain you are going to be, when I tell you what we're talking about today, I am certain that you are going to just wildly erupt because you can't hold it in. Because I know that churches love talking about this subject. Today, we're talking about our finances. Yeah, that's kind of what I expected. You did better than the 9 o'clock service. You really did. Today, you're more spiritual. Most weeks, they beat you, but today, you're more spiritual. And I know, I'll just acknowledge this, I know this can be an uncomfortable conversation. In fact, in between services, I told Justin, I said, I forgot how quiet people get when I talk about money. I had forgotten. It got real quiet in the first service. And just know this, I am not trying to step on your toes. I don't have access to your bank account. I haven't, like, looked at you. I don't know for sure. I know statistically what's happening in our culture and in church. But I'm not picking on anybody. I really, when we talk about this today, I really want to bring you some hope. And part of why I'm passionate about this subject is because Lisa and I have been there. I'll share a little bit of our story, but we've been there. We've felt the stress. We understand what it's like to have the bill collectors call. And we know what it's like, but we also know what it's like to apply the principles of God's word and see the blessing of God in that area of our finances. And the bottom line is this, is we, you know, at this church, people often ask, you know, what kind of church are you? And you know, a pretty common answer is say, you know what, we read the Bible and we try to do exactly what the Bible says, even if we don't like it, right? Like that's a good way to describe. What denomination? Like, doesn't matter. We read the Bible and we try to follow what he says. And this is the funny part about this subject is while it does get touchy, there's really no reason to. I mean, we take the Bible's advice for marriage and for parenting and for our business and for all. So let's take the Bible's advice for our finances as well. Do you believe that? Are you going to do that? Now, I know that there may be some young families or young people who you're like, I don't need to listen today because I don't have any money. So I don't need to pay attention. You should pay attention because you will have money one day. And if you'll apply these principles, you'll have it sooner, actually. You'll get there faster. My hope is because, you know, the norm is that young people are getting credit cards younger and younger and younger. They're graduating with mountains of school loans as well as consumer debt and car loans and all. And then they can't live their lives and they're spending years just paying for all of those mistakes. So we're hoping to fast forward you and so that you don't have to go through that. And I told the early service this, and it's true. And I had one young man thank me for this advice because it's going to really help him to find the woman of his dreams. But single people, you need to know that there is nothing sexier than being debt-free. I'm just telling you. There is nothing. Like, you could have abs, you could have everything, but if you're in debt, you no one even wants to be with you. But if you're debt-free, that's sexy, all right? So you just need to know that as well. You know, the biggest stresses in our lives tend to be, according to researchers, time management and money. Would you agree with that? Time management, how do I get it all done? I can't be everywhere. How do I do it all? And then how do I pay for it all, right? How do we do this life? And there are major, major stressors. In fact, the LA Times, when it comes to money, reports that 27% of families describe their own finances as shaky, and 40% admit to having trouble paying their bills on a month-to-month basis. And that's stressful, right? Can I pay my bill? When can I pay my bill? You know, the shuffle, let's pay this bill, let's wait on that bill. It takes a toll. It wears you down. It's a leading cause of divorce in our nation right now. Money trouble. In fact, most of the marriages that Lisa and I counsel, most of them, there's an element of financial issues that's somewhere in there. It causes you to lose sleep. It raises stress in your life. It sometimes can make people just absolutely sick. What I'm saying is, financial trouble will suck the life right out of you. I love what Donald Olson said. He said, the average American is busy buying things he doesn't want with money he doesn't have to impress people that he doesn't even like. Isn't that true? You know, there's that saying that we got to keep up with the Joneses, right? And I've been asking for years, who are the Joneses, right? Why are we trying to keep up with them, right? I don't know who they are, right? But there's this pressure, you know, you got to get the newest thing. You got to have the newest thing. You got to, you know, there's this pressure, and I don't know why we do it, but that statement's so true, is we're buying stuff that we don't want, and we're trying to impress people that at the end of the day, we really don't even care about. And that's not the way it should be. Do you agree with that? Do you believe Jesus has a better plan, a different plan for how, you know, I go to this verse all the time, but John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life to the full. And I think that's every area of our life. I think that today, I think it has to do with our finances. And in this series, this is the idea, is that the decisions that we're asking you to make, it all starts with our thinking. If we can change our thinking, then we can change our habits. If we can change our habits, then we can change our outcome. And so today, I'm hoping to help you. Maybe I'm reinforcing the good habits that you already have when it comes to your finances, or I'm hoping to help you change your thinking when it comes to the subject of money. So let me talk to you today about three truths about your money, okay? Number one is this, is money will not make you happy. This is truth number one. Money won't make you happy. Now, you might think that it will. In fact, I love what comedian Daniel Tosh said. I have to qualify this before I tell it to you, because I realized that in the first service that this quote has to do with wave runners, and that I realized in first service we live in the desert. So imagine you live near water when you hear this, okay? So Daniel Tosh said, money doesn't buy happiness. Do you live in America? Because it buys a wave runner. Have you ever seen a sad person on a wave runner? Have you? Seriously? Try to frown on a wave runner. You can't do it. Okay? So this idea, here's the idea. Is you got it. Okay, good. Here's the idea. More stuff equals more happiness. Isn't that what our culture teaches us? Right? Buy a wave runner, you'll be happy, right? Buy a new this, buy a new that. The idea today is more stuff equals more happiness. I was talking with a friend this week, and he was actually doing some research on storage units. You know, these places where you can go to store your stuff. You pay them. Like, you have a house, and you have a garage, and you have stuff in your house, in your garage, but you have more stuff, and so you go somewhere else, and you pay them to store your stuff, all right? Are you following me? You know what these are, right? Store, it's crazy. But listen, here's the picture of our culture, because it really backs up this idea that more stuff equals more happiness. Today, in America, for every person in America, every man, every woman, every child, every single person, there's enough storage, not in our houses, storage space, for all of us to have 8 square feet of storage in our names, okay? And here's the surprising part. 90% of storage units are currently full. So I think we should do a Harvest storage unit and make some money off everyone's stuff, right? And listen to this. 60% of storage units have not been visited in the last 12 months. Listen to what this is what it means. We have so much stuff that we have to store it. We buy the stuff because we think it's going to make us happy. We run out of space, so we store it. We pay someone to keep it. And then we don't even go visit the stuff that we thought was originally going to make us happy. Talk about a messed up culture, right? But this is the idea, is we buy into this. Maybe you haven't, but that more stuff is going to make you happy. And I need to break it to you today that it's not true. That more stuff does not make you happy. That more money, that a raise, that a bet, it's not going to make you happy. And here's why, is because money does not satisfy the heart. It's very external, okay? Like, listen, stuff will make you happy for a moment, for a season. It has this gratification, but it doesn't last because they don't affect the heart. I love what millionaire John Rockefeller said. He was asked the question, how much money is enough? And his answer was amazingly transparent when he replied, just a little bit more. Isn't that the world we live in? It's like no matter how much we have, we think a little more would make us happier. No matter how big our house is, a little bigger one would make us happy. No matter what our salary is, a little bit more. It just seems like we buy into this idea that a little more will make us happier. And it's not true. I told the first service, Mitch was in the first service, and I was reminded of a fishing trip that he and I went on. And we were up in Cuesta, and we went out to Cabresto Lake, and we went fishing. And I'm telling you, it was one of those days just like the fish were biting. It was like anybody could catch fish, because even Mitch was catching fish. I mean, you didn't even have to be a fisherman. And we're catching fish, and Mitch got tired of catching fish. And so he sat down, and he watched me continue to catch fish. And I'm just catching fish. And finally he's like, hey, Pastor Jay, when are we going to go? I'm like, and you know what my response was? One more fish, Mitch. That's all I need. And I would catch a fish and I would release it and I would say, Mitch, just one more. And I would catch one. And finally he got tired of waiting and he had the keys to the truck and he left. He started walking to the truck and I didn't want to get left there. So one more fish was actually enough at that time, right? But this is the idea. And I just want to tell you today, no matter how much you have, if you're into this idea that more will make you happier, if you buy into that, no matter how much you have, it'll never be enough. No raise will be enough. Nothing will ever satisfy because you got to get to the heart. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, whoever loves money never has enough. In other words, when we put our trust in money, it's not enough. When we put our hope in money, it's not enough. He says, whoever loves it will never have enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. No matter how much it is, it'll never be enough. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? See, here's what I've learned about more stuff, is more stuff just means more maintenance. More stuff just means more storage. More stuff just means more to move when you, right? It's just more stuff really creates more problems. It's like the notorious B.I.G. said, mo' money, mo' problems, right? He's not a theologian, but he got that right. More stuff it just means more headaches. It means more to take care of. It means more to manage. Now listen, money and stuff are not evil. I don't want to villainize, okay, this today. Stuff's not, I want you to be comfortable. I want you to have a great house. I want you to drive a reliable car. I really want this for you. Stuff's not the problem. The issue is when the stuff owns us rather than us owning the stuff. Isn't this what Jesus said? He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. That's what we have to be careful of, is so often we buy things, and before we know it, that thing now owns us. Now the thing dictates, you know, our schedule. Now the thing dictates where our dollars go. Now, and that's what I own, whatever, own the stuff, but don't allow the stuff to own you. 1 Timothy 6 says this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So, see, money's not evil. It's the love. It gets disproportionate. When the love is for the stuff is bigger than our love for Jesus and for the ways of the kingdom. It says the love is the root of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So here's how we keep things in perspective is you just need to know that you came into this world with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. No matter how much you collect, right, it's not going to be enough. Some of you know our house flooded over Christmas. And so the first Sunday back, a bunch of people just came to our house to start helping us pack up. And it's when you're not planning on packing, right, it's just crazy. I mean, we're just buying boxes and people are bringing boxes. We don't care where it goes. We're just like, get it out. We don't care, right? And so people are like, I mean, we love everyone that was there, but they're like going through our stuff, right, and packing it. And then I hear from the kitchen, they're like, well, how many coffee mugs do you need, you know? And so I yelled back and I said, everyone that's here, take a coffee mug home. And then Lisa came to me, she goes, why are you giving our coffee mugs away? What if they take the one I like? I'm like, babe, I just felt so bad that we just have so much, we should just share, No matter how much you have, it's never going to be enough. So you just keep this idea. I came with nothing, and I'm gonna leave with nothing. Job, who would know a lot about this, right? He had a bunch. It was all taken away. This is what he said. Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." I mean, I don't get to take it with me. Nothing's gonna get to go with me. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And then he says, "May the name of the Lord be praised." In other words, stuff is not what makes you happy. It doesn't solve your heart issue. But here's what I can tell you. Here's truth number two. Debt will make you unhappy. I promise you, debt will make you unhappy. I love what Romans says. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love that you owe one another." Don't get that card out and pay for something that you can't afford. Don't run up those debts. Don't we live in a world of instant gratification? I mean, it's like, man, if you want it, you can go get it, right? I mean, man, I tell you, I was in a drive-thru line the other day, and it was taking so long, and I just found myself getting so frustrated, because, I mean, when I want a bacon cheeseburger, I want a bacon cheeseburger, right? Like, I don't want to wait on it. We live in this world. It's like, whatever you want, just go get it. Just go, you can do it. You can do it now. You can do it fast, and the dilemma is this, is now you can get things that you can't even afford. I mean, they give you credit, right? They issue you credit so that you can buy stuff that you can't actually afford. I read a statistic the other day that only 1% of credit cards are actually paid off on time. That means they're making so much money off 99% of us. Because if you don't pay it on time, you're paying a penalty, you're paying interest, you're paying a fee for that convenience, for the convenience of instant gratification. And here's what they do. They trick you by offering you travel points and cash back and all these rewards. I mean, every time I fly now, every time they're over the announcement, and they're like, and you can sign up today and you get 50,000 bonus points. You can fly to Rome for free. And I mean, that sounds pretty awesome. I'd love to fly to Rome, right? But I got to pay for all this stuff when I get there. And I'll just put that on my card. I'll get more points, right? They trick you. Let me just tell you, okay? The points will not make up for the debt. Now listen, if you can be wise, if you can be a good steward and you can pay it off, then go for it, okay? But I'm just saying, most of you cannot do that. Most of you can't. I'm not being mean. I've been there. So we got to be careful because debt will make you unhappy. I saw a meme this week that said this: all I want in life is to lose weight and gain money. But here I am gaining weight and losing money. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if we could gain money as easily as gaining weight? Man, that'd be awesome, right? I mean, that's what we want. Current statistics show that 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, that the average credit card debt in a American family today is $15,000. The average car payment today is almost $500 a month, and the average student loan is almost $400 a month. I mean, we wonder where our money's going. So here's a principle. You can either pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later. And the issue is this. If you play now and pay later, it gets more expensive. You're paying for it. You're paying the penalties. You're paying the interest. Proverbs says it this way, Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Listen, I want to give you hope today. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm not here to step on your toes. I want to give you hope. And I mentioned this earlier, but Lisa and I, we totally understand. We owned our own construction company, and we were building houses in 08 when the market crashed and no one could, you know, buy any more houses. We got stuck with a whole bunch of property and we had debts. And I mean, I'm telling you, overnight, we had a big house and a couple of vehicles. And I had a boat in the driveway. And I mean, we had all the stuff that the world tells you will make you happy. And it wasn't making us happy. And then the market turned. And I'm just telling you, we lost everything. And I'll never forget the pressure of the phone calls that don't stop, of the letters that don't stop, of the people showing up at your house because you don't return the mail or the call. I'll never forget that pressure. I hope you're not there, but I want to give you some hope today. So if you're serious about getting out of debt, here's the first thing you need to do is first, you need to know how much you owe. It's amazing to me how many people who are in debt, but they don't know how much they owe. It's just this number. It's just out there. At some point, we stick our heads in the sand and we want to pretend that it's not there. And I'm just warning you, when you do that with debt, it not only does it not go away, but it actually grows. So the first thing, you just got to know what you owe. You got to face reality. And if you have debt and you find out what you owe, here's what you also need to know, is you cannot pay it off by only paying the minimum. You might get your credit card statement and there's this big, you know, number that's on there. And then it's like, but the minimum payment is $25. Makes you feel really good until you realize that if you pay the minimum, your grandchildren will be paying your debts off for you. It's going to take that long. You're not going to catch up by paying the minimum payment. So what you might want to do, I didn't invent this, but you might use the snowball method. Figure out your debts, figure out, you know, what each card is or what each debt is, and then pay off the smallest one first, and then snowball that into the next largest one, and pay that one off, and then snowball that into the, and get that debt paid off. And then here's what I would suggest is once the debt's paid off, destroy those cards. And I heard of a church one time that they preached a message similar to this, and then they had shredders at the front, and they had people come up for the response and shred their credit cards. I'm not going that far today, but I will help you if you want, okay? We have a big shredder in the office, and we will run that sucker through. And here's what people often say. They're like, but I need a card for emergencies, right? So let me give you a novel idea. You could actually save up money for emergencies. Did you know that? Like, you could actually have money in the bank, so when the brakes go out, you pay the bill. Like, this is novel for Americans, I know, right? But I get it. And honestly, there's a lot of things that's easier to do with a card, right? I mean, you can't rent a car. It's harder. I mean, there's a lot. I get it, okay? But here's what I want to help you with for the idea of an emergency card, okay? Take that card and put it in a bowl, and the biggest bowl you can find, and fill that bowl with water. And then put that bowl in your freezer and let it freeze solid, okay? And then when you think, oh my goodness, I need to buy that thing, and I have credit, then go to the freezer and get that bowl and set that bowl out on your counter. And when that bowl melts without your help, you can't use the microwave, okay? You can't get an ice pick. You just let it melt. And when it melts, just ask yourself if the urge is still there to buy that thing that you thought you wanted at 2 a.m. when the infomercial came on. It's amazing that when you wait, the urges leave. They don't stay there. So I know it sounds silly, right? But I'm trying to do those to help you to stop incurring more debt. Let me encourage you with this. Some of you're in debt and you want to get out. Let me encourage you with this. Getting out of debt can happen faster than mathematically possible when you put God first. When you put God first, He'll help you. I'm telling you, He'll honor those decisions. I remember when we came to Harvest a little over 5 years ago. The church was in some financial trouble, and we were behind on our mortgage by a lot, by about 2 years. We hadn't paid our mortgage. And I remember the very first board meeting that we had, we said, hey, we've got to figure this out. And we made a plan. We said, next month, we're going to pay $500 towards our mortgage. And our mortgage is about $5,000 a month. So, I mean, it's not enough. But I said, let's do something, and let's see if God honors it. And so every single month, we put the first $500 in, and then the next month, we increased it a little bit, and the next month, we increased it a little bit, and all of a sudden, we're paying the full payment. And I mean, it was just like, I remember the board meeting when we celebrated, and we said, hey, God is honoring putting Him first and doing the right thing. And I just believe that for your finances, that when you put God first, He'll honor it, and He'll cause it to move faster than it should mathematically. Here's the third truth about money. So money doesn't make you happy. Debt will make you unhappy. So having financial margin will give you options. It'll give you options. I'm telling you, it'll make it a lot easier. So how do you get to that place? How do you get to a place where you have options? Well, I love what Dave Ramsey says about this. He says, tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Here's what I know about money. If you don't tell it where to go, it will leave all on its own. Right? It will find a purse that it likes. It'll find some shoes that it likes. It will find a gun that it likes, right? Which guns can make you happy, all right? But only when you pay cash. Your money will find things. Your money will, so you have to be in control. You get to tell your money where to go. Don't wake up one day and go, well, I wonder where it all went. So to do this, you're going to have a plan. In order to tell your money where to go, you're going to have a plan. Proverbs 21 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs 13 says, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't, and even brags about it. You're going to have a plan to tell your money where to go. Here's the basis of the plan, okay? And it's so simple, you're going to be like, why did I come to church for this? But here's the fundamental rule when it comes to making a plan for your finances. You cannot spend more than you make. It's a novel idea, right? Here's what I love about that rule is whether you make $100 a month or $100,000 a month, it's the same rule. Is that your income has to exceed the outgo, right? That's a fundamental rule. Otherwise, you end up in debt, and you end up in trouble, and you end up stressed. We don't want you there. Here's the plan that John Maxwell talks about if you're reading the book, and it's not a new plan. You've probably heard this plan before, but I think it's a great plan. So this is what he teaches. It's a 10-10-80. So pay God 10% first, pay yourself 10% second, and then live on the 80%. This is a suggested plan. Let me break it down for you. Pay God 10% first. The principle in the scripture would call this is called tithing. It's the first fruits. It's we honor God with the first fruits. By the way, what the scripture says is the tithe doesn't belong to you. The tithe belongs to God. So it's a losing argument. I'm just telling you. So you give God that first 10%. By the way, when you give beyond the 10%, then that's called an offering. The first 10% you're just giving to God. Then beyond that, then if you apply these principles, then you get to live generously, and then you get to direct money to other things through offerings. And by the way, I just want you to know that Lisa and I, we practice tithing. We actually, both of us grew up in homes where, I mean, we were taught this from a young age. I remember I'd get a birthday card and I would get $20 in the birthday card, and my mom and dad would say, you know, Jason, how much is the tithe going to be? And I'd say $2, and my parents would help me make change so that Sunday I could give my $2. And I'm just, you know what, parents, I'm thankful that I learned that on $20, because the checks started getting bigger. And I'm just telling you, it's easier to learn that faithfulness when you're young and when the checks are small, and then you just keep doing it. I've had the conversations with adults who are making more than $20, and they're like, but do you understand what 10% is? That's a lot. And I'm like, I know, but if you trust God, you can do more on the 90% that's left than you'll do on the 100% if you keep it all yourself. So I want you to know, Lisa and I practice this. Now, I teach a principle that you automate what's the most important. Some of you have automated your mortgage payment because you like having a roof over your house. Right? Some of you have automated your electric bill because you like coming home and there being lights to turn on, right? I mean, you automate the things that are important. Why would we not automate the most important thing? Why would we not automate our tithe? So I want you to know that's another principle. I'm not just telling you, but I live by it. Karen's our accountant here at the church, and she literally takes the tithe out of the check, and that gets sent in first before the money ever even comes to my bank account, right? Like, I want God to get His first. It's a trust issue. It's an honor issue. We're giving that back to Him. By the way, we ask all of our staff and all of our board members to tithe as well. We have open conversations about this. We believe that our leadership sets the tone. We're not going to ask people to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. So we do that. And I want you to know that our church practices this, meaning our organization. 10% of whatever came in today through the offering, that would be the tithe, 10% of what came in today will go back out through missions projects. We've made a decision. We as a church will live on 90%. We'll trust God. We'll give that 10% away. And I'm just telling you, it sounds so cliche. You've probably heard, you can't outgive God. How many of you have heard that? And usually you hear that when you're in a tough situation and you roll your eyes and you're like, ugh, right? But I'm just telling you, you really can't outgive God. I've learned it personally. We've learned it as a church. Here's what the scripture says, so you know I'm not making it up. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. I don't know how many of you have barns or vats, but the principle is true. That when you trust God with your possessions, with your wealth, with your gifts, with your talent, when you trust God, He blesses you beyond your capacity to hold it. It's true. Malachi says it this way, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Pay God 10% and then pay yourself 10%. What I'm saying here is save. Store up, okay? Get some investments. Get some retirement stuff going. Save, you know, for your kids. Put some stuff away. What Dave Ramsey recommends as a baby step, so you pay off all of your debts, save up an initial $1,000. That now becomes an emergency fund. And then once you get the $1,000, then save up 2 to 3 months of your living expenses so that if, you know, something happens, the government shuts down and you stop getting your checks, you've got some room there, right? You've got some space. You don't have to panic about it. You've got some options there. And then after that's when it really gets fun, because then you get to start really thinking about your future and dreaming about your future. Last night we took the girls and we went to Outback, and we had a real nice dinner. We said this is our family Valentine's, you know, and so we ate a great meal, and it was just awesome. And I don't know why this came up, but Lisa said to the girls, she said, "Hey girls, when you grow up and you get married and you have kids, we are going to be great grandparents, right?" Like, why are we dreaming about this? We don't, right? Like, slow it down, right? But we started talking about it, and Lisa says, "See, girls, just so you know, when you have kids, Dad's gonna go on fishing trips, and when he's gone fishing, I'm gonna come and stay with you and help take care of the grandkids." I'm like, I want some of the fun, and can I take grandkids fishing? I mean, how about that, right? Here's what I'm getting at. It was funny. Lisa looks at me. She goes, "Is it weird that we're already dreaming about that stage of life, right? I don't know what your dreams are. You have some, right? You want to bike across America, right? Well, I only know one person actually with that dream." I don't know. You want to be able to travel. You want to go visit your grandkids. I don't know what your dream is, right? But listen, to get there, you're gonna have to have a plan, and you're gonna have to start now. And if you start early, time is on your side. Compound interest works in your favor when you're saving. It works against you, you know, when you have debt. But you can make a plan now, and you can get ready for that. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp them down." In other words, fools eat everything that they have. What Proverbs is saying is wise people save money and spend what's left. They tell their money where to go, but the unwise spend their money and save what's left. The problem with that is there's rarely anything left. Because there's always something more. There's always something grabbing for your attention. So you start out, you pay yourself, or you pay God, and then you pay yourself, and then you get to live on the balance, which, if you're not good at math, is 80%, okay? You get 80% to live on, to pay your bills, to pay the mortgage, to pay the utilities, to buy a car. And I realize that this can seem, you know, daunting if you're just starting out. You know, Lisa and I, we understand. I was reminiscing about when we first got married. I mean, we had almost nothing. And we had this little apartment, little two-bedroom apartment. And one was our room and the other was my office. And I was doing construction at the time. And I remember, I don't even know how many mornings I didn't have work. But I would go in my office and I would close the door and I'd kneel. We had a little day bed there in case we had guests. And I'd kneel at the bed and I would just say, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need some work." And the phone would ring, and whatever they wanted me to do, if it was legal and paid money, I was like, "Yes, I will be there." And I mean, I'm telling you, I cleaned gutters out for somebody. I assembled desks for somebody. I just humiliating jobs I didn't want to do, jobs that I hated them. It was no fun at all. But I remember in that season, I remember learning to trust God. And we'd get that, you know, little bit of a paycheck, and we'd pay our tithe, and we'd figure out, and I remember that season of surviving. That's the early days, right? Some of you know that. Let me just tell you, if you're in the season of surviving, it will not last forever. What I love about seasons is that they don't last forever, right? I mean, while y'all were worshiping, I was still out there greeting people, and like the sun was shining, and then it got cloudy, and then it started hailing a little bit, and like all this is happening while you were worshiping, and it was like I was watching in front of me how quickly the seasons can change. I don't know what season you're in today, but I want to give you hope that season will not last forever. But you're going to have to figure out, it's kind of become a bad word. I don't know why it's so bad. It's the bad B word. You're going to have to figure out how to live on a budget. I don't know what words you thought I was going to say, but you're going to have to learn how to live on a budget. You're going to have to figure out, you know, what do you actually make? Not what do you want to make, right? What do you actually make? 10% to God, 10% to savings. What's the 80%? What can I do with that? You know, I mean, some of maybe you need to downsize your house. I know the culture is telling you to upgrade, but you might need to downsize. You might need to pay up, you know, get that car sold because you had a big old payment on it. Buy, you know, a clunker, right? That'll just get you by. Like, do what's necessary because it is totally worth it. It's worth it to live that life that Jesus said when he said, "I've come to give you life to the full." You're going to need a plan to make that happen. I'm about to close, and let me help you out with one more thing. One of the things I would encourage you is if you're in a place and you need some financial help, get some wise counsel. Find someone that you trust and who loves you and who wants the best for you that is also good with their money, okay? So just listen to me. Don't ask for financial advice from someone who's not good with their own money. Okay, if they're not good with their own money, they're certainly not going to be good with your money, all right? So go find someone, and if you don't have someone, let me offer you something. We've done things over the years. We've done different classes and life groups and different things to help you with your finances. But I know there's some obstacles. I know, you know, it's like, well, I don't have time, or you know, what do I do with my kids, or you know, whatever. So we have a class coming up, and Guy and Karen are going to teach this, and Karen does all of our finances here at the church, and she's a CPA, and Guy and Karen live according, literally everything I just preached, they live according to this. They've been incredibly faithful. So I asked them, I said, hey, would you help some other families who might need some help in this area? And they agreed. And so we've got a class coming up. It starts in March. It's called the 3 Big B's. It's 3 weeks long. Let me emphasize, it is 3 weeks long. It is not a long class. It is three, like you can do 3 classes, I promise you, okay? 3 weeks, it's on Sunday mornings. It'll be during the 11 o'clock service. It'll be right here. We have built-in childcare. I'm taking away all of your excuses. You're gonna come up with a new one, and I will come up with a solution, I promise you, okay? Like, I wanna help you. They're gonna go over the 3 Big B's that if you establish these in your finances, in your family, they will transform your financial picture. I promise you. You know, couples, go to this. Go get some help. Figure it out. Make a plan now. Young people, go. Get take advantage of this. You can sign up afterwards at our hospitality desk. We've got it all ready for you. You can go online this week when the Holy Spirit convicts you and you're paying for something with a credit card. And he's like, 3 Big B's. Just go online. And we're not even charging you for this, all right? I should, because you're giving your money to stupid stuff right now. You should just give it to us, but I'm not. We're not charging. Just it's a class to help you. But I want to give you hope today. Stop incurring debt. Plan for the future. Tell your money where to go. Don't wonder where it went. Put God first and see what happens. I know this is, you know, one of those messages that, you know, it's not quite as feel good as some other topics. We talked last week about this idea that you cannot compartmentalize the different areas of your life. If you're unhealthy in one, it'll affect the others. If you're unhealthy in your finances, it will affect the other areas. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your ability to produce fruit as a follower of Jesus. It will affect the other areas. And so we want to help you as your home church. We want to help you to get a handle on this area. And here, can I dream with you? Like, how awesome would it be to be a church that is operating at full capacity? Because when I say church, you know this. It's not a building, right? It's the people. What if we were operating at full capacity? What if we didn't have debt and we could live generously? Can you imagine what we could do as a church? Can you imagine what, I mean, I know this is every pastor's dream, but can you imagine what church would be like if we were all participating, if we were all tithing? Do you know how many needs we could solve in our community? Do you know what we could do? And I'm just telling you that God's dreams for us right now far exceed our capacity. But this is part of the dream. So what if we obeyed what God's word says and we lived that life to the full? Why don't you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over you. I know some of you need this desperately. You don't know what you're gonna, you don't know how you're gonna pay the bill tomorrow. You don't know. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything, to raise your hand. I'm here to give you hope today. So I wanna pray over you today. I wanna believe that you're gonna get out of debt, that you're gonna live life to the full. But I wanna invite you, would you believe with me? I've been announcing over this year that this will be our best year ever. Does anyone believe that? Would you believe with me that as we individually get this part of our lives in order, that as a church, that we would be able to go to the next level of loving and serving and being the church? Like, would that not be awesome? Does that excite you or not? It excites me. So let's pray this prayer right now. Father, I pray right now over every family that has any financial need, big, small. Maybe there's a financial argument earlier this week. Maybe there's a spouse that's purchasing things and hiding it. And maybe there's a control issue. Whatever it is, Lord, we invite you into this area of our lives. We invite you into the financial aspect because, God, it all belongs to you anyway. We don't own anything. You've just made us to be stewards. And so, Lord, we want to be good stewards. We invite you into this area. God, I just speak hope right now over hopeless financial situations. Lord, I speak hope right now into mountains of debt. Lord, I speak hope, Lord, into impulse buying. Lord, I speak hope into all of the issues that come with this area. And God, we're asking you, we're inviting you into this part of our lives. We're asking you, God, give us the courage to be honest. Lord, help us to put a plan together. Help us to get the pieces that we need to live by a budget, to put you first. And Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to help families today that are in trouble in this area. And Lord, as a church, we dream. As a church, we dream about what it could be, Lord, to live at full potential, life to the full, Lord, as families, but also as a church. Lord, as a church, we want this to be our best year. We want this to be our most generous year. We want this year, Lord, to expand your kingdom like never before. God, this year, but Lord, we know that it takes resources to do that. And so, God, as all of us individually say yes, we release this morning the dreams that you have over Harvest. And we are believing you, Lord, that we're going to reach more people this year, that we're going to help more people this year, that we're going to be more generous, that we're going to send dollars all over the world, Lord, to spread your gospel. Lord, we are so excited to be able to participate with you in expanding your kingdom here on earth. So we ask for your help today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Harvest, thank you so much. As you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.